Ushinaresh Pabudraja
Ushinaresh Pabudraja
Suyagya
Iti Vishutaha
Sapatnara Vinihito Yude Yatayastam Upasate Sita Ushinarishu. In this state known as Ushinara, Abud, there was Raja, a king, Suyagya, Iti, thus, Vishruta, celebrated, Sapatnai, by enemies, Nihita, killed, Yude, in war, Yataya, the kinsman, Tam, him, Upasata, sat around. So that was story time. In the state known as Ushinara, there was a celebrated king named Suyagya. When the king was killed in battle by his enemies, his kinsmen sat down around the dead body and began to lament the death of their friend. His golden bejeweled armor smashed, his ornaments and garlands fallen from their places, his hair scattered and his eyes lustreless. The slain king lay on the battlefield, his entire body smeared with blood, his heart pierced by the arrows of the enemy. When he died, he had wanted to show his prowess, thus he had bitten his lips, and his teeth remained in that position. His beautiful lotus-like face was now black and covered with dust from the battlefield. His arms, with his sword and other weapons, were cut and broken. When the queens of the king of Ushinara saw their husband lying in that position, they began crying. Oh Lord, now that you've been killed, we have also been killed. Repeating these words again and again, they fell down, pounding their breasts at the feet of the dead king. Purport is stated here, Ravasa Dashta Dat Chandam. The dead king, while fighting in anger, bit his lips to show his prowess, but nonetheless he was killed by providence, Vidina. This proves that we are controlled by higher authorities. Our personal power endeavor is not always supreme. We must therefore accept the position offered to us by the order of the supreme. Here's a very strong king fighting on the battlefield, and he loses. Similarly, we're also on a battlefield, and we can't say that we're always going to win, at least from the external point of view. And similarly, the current situation we're under, if you would ask someone a year ago that for 1 month or 2 months or a year you'll have to stay in the temple, no one would accept it. Oh, you're so pessimistic. You must have had a bad night. You must have had a nightmare last night. We'd never come to this position that we're in now. And yet, now that we're in this position, there's nothing we can do about it. And we don't even know exactly why we're in this position, or who put us in this position, or how long we're going to be in the position. But here, Brahman in the purport says, ultimately it's decided by Krishna. Now you can ask Krishna, why did you arrange this? Maybe you made a mistake. Maybe Krishna got up on the wrong side of the bed. Or maybe he's asleep, as soon as Chaturmasya. And maybe he took an early rest. There was one rabbi, his name was Krishna. And he wrote a book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And his theory was that actually God is a nice person, but he's become so old and senile that he just can't control things like he used to. So now because he can't control things like he used to, therefore bad things are happening to good people. But the idea was that soon God will retire, because although he's senile, he should realize he should step down, and maybe one of the younger angels will take over and things will go better in the future. That's one idea. There are many ideas. Everyone has their idea. I'm a nice person. How is this being arranged? There must be something wrong. We're all devotees. Why is it that we're stuck here? Why is it devotees also get sick and have to leave their bodies? I thought Krishna is going to protect them. But everything Krishna arranges is good. Now, it may not seemingly, to our vision, be very good, but Krishna's plan is to bring everyone back to the spiritual world. That's good. Anything that inspires one to take shelter of Krishna, that's good. And everything that draws our mind away from Krishna, that's bad. Very simple philosophy. Therefore, we should try to accept the situation and then see how, what to do in order to serve Krishna in this situation. Rather than lament, how has this happened? Something must be wrong. Yes, there's something wrong. We're all an illusion. And therefore, Krishna has to create the material world in order to get us out of illusion, give us the chance to render service in a place where we won't cause too much trouble to the liberated souls. And while we're here, we can actually make some progress in pure devotional service and Krishna consciousness by, first of all, understanding what circumstances we're under, accepting them, and then trying to see how to make the best use of a bad bargain and engage ourselves and perhaps others in Krishna's service. So Hiranyakashipu will explain that. So Chandrakant Pandit says we should accept gold even from an impure place. A person, knowledge from even a person who's not so elevated. So Hiranyakashipu now will tell us a story about this king. As the queens loudly cried, their tears glided down their breasts, becoming reddened by kumkum powder, and fell upon the lotus feet of their husband. Their hair became disarrayed, their ornaments fell, and in a way they evoked sympathy from the hearts of others. The queens began lamenting their husband's death. O Lord, you have now been removed by cruel providence to a state beyond our sight. You had previously sustained the livelihood of the inhabitants of Ushinara, and thus they were happy. But your condition now is the cause of their unhappiness. O King, O hero, you were a very grateful husband and the most sincere friend of all of us. How shall we exist without you? O hero, wherever you are going, please direct us there so that we may follow in your footsteps and engage again in your service. Let us go along with you. Purport. Formerly, a Kshatriya king was generally the husband of many wives. And after the death of the king, especially in the battlefield, all the queens would agree to accept Saha Marana, dying with a husband, who was their life. When Pandava Maharaj, the father of the Pandavas, died, his two wives, namely the mother of Yudhisthira, Bhima and Arjuna, and the mother of Nakula and Sahadev, were both ready to die in the fire with their husband. Later, after a compromise was arranged, Kunti stayed alive to care for the little children, and the other wife, Madri, was allowed to die with her husband. The system of Saha Marana continued in India even until the time of the British rule, but later it was discouraged, since the attitude of wives generally changed with the advancement of Kali Yuga. Thus the system of Saha Marana has practically been abolished. Nevertheless, within the past 50 years, I have seen the wife of a medical practitioner voluntarily accept death immediately when her husband died. Both the husband and wife were taken possession in the mourning cart, Such intense love of a chaste wife or a husband is a special case. For translation, the time was appropriate for the body to be burned, but the queens, not allowing it to be taken away, continued lamenting for the dead body, which they kept on their laps. In the meantime, the sun completed its movements for setting in the west. Purport. According to the Vedic system, if a person dies during the daytime, it is customary for the funeral ceremony to be performed before the sun sets, regardless of whether he is burned or buried. And if he dies at night, the funeral must be complete before the next sunrise. Apparently, the queens continued lamenting for the dead body, the lump of matter, and would not allow it to be taken away for burning. This illustrates the strong grip of illusion among foolish persons who consider the body the self. Women are generally considered less intelligent. Because of ignorance only, the queens thought of the dead body as their husband, and somehow or another that if the body were kept, their husband would remain with them. Such a conception of life is certainly for Gokara, cows and asses. We have actually seen that sometimes when a cow's calf has died, the milkman cheats the cow by presenting before her the dead body of her calf. Thus the cow, who would not otherwise allow milking, licks the dead body of the calf and allows herself to be milked. This substantiates the description of the Shastra that a foolish man in the bodily concept of life is like a cow. Not only do foolish men and women consider the body the self, but they have even seen that the dead body, but we have even seen that the dead body of a so-called yogi was kept for days by his disciples, who thought that their guru was in samadhi. When decomposition began and a bad smell unfortunately began to overwhelm the yogic power, the disciples allowed the dead body of the so-called yogi to be burned. Thus the bodily concept of life is extremely strong among foolish persons who are compared to cows and asses. Nowadays, great scientists are trying to freeze dead bodies so that in the future, these frozen bodies may again be brought to life. The incident narrated by Hiranyakashipu from history must have been taking place millions of years ago because Hiranyakashipu lived millions of years ago and was even then quoting from history. Thus the incident occurred before Hiranyakashipu's lifetime, but the same ignorance in the bodily concept of life is still prevalent, not only among the laymen, but even among scientists who think they'll be able to revive human frozen corpses. Apparently the queens did not want to deliver the dead body for burning because they're afraid of dying with the dead body of their husband. Our ignorance is not that we can't be technologically advanced. Prabhupada is pointing out that, generally speaking, women are less intelligent, not because they can't be adept at materialistic activities. Sometimes we can see that women are more expert than men at, for instance, in school. Many times they get higher marks, that they generally, they know how to arrange things better in many ways, especially in this age. Men usually become subordinate to women because many times women are more intelligent in some ways than men are. But from the point of view of spiritual intelligence, that is identifying with the body, men and women are made differently. Because if women were not made to identify themselves more closely with their body, then we wouldn't have very many householders. Of course, nowadays, married life is sort of like an imagination also. But still, there has to be someone who will take care of the children, take care of the house, or else it'd work even worse than it is already working. And since women are being geared hormonally and otherwise to have children, therefore, naturally, they're more inclined to take care of things like the children, the house, whatever else. their own bodies, and men can go out and work and support them. Of course, in this age, many times men don't want to work. They don't want to support anyone. So they don't protect the women. And they tell the women, you're independent. And women have to take an unnatural situation and believe that they're independent and they can do everything. They don't need men. They don't need children. They don't need a home. They don't need anything. And that's what they get. They get nothing. And they get dissatisfied. But naturally, men who are supposed to be more intelligent spiritually, at least, that they're supposed to direct women and direct themselves so that they make spiritual advancement, that the material situation is nicely taken care of and peacefully they can live together and try to make help each other make spiritual advancement. That's intelligence. But if they simply make arrangements to have a nice house, nice food, everything nice for the body, and they forget about the soul, then that's less intelligent. They may have a perfect arrangement, everything is so nice, everyone's admiring them, but at the end of life, if they're not spiritually advanced, then they simply have to come back for another material situation with more material suffering. So real intelligence who understand how to make spiritual advancement and get out of the material concept of life and go forward in spiritual life. So Hiranyakashipu is mentioning that these ladies, obviously they're attached, because nowadays everyone's attached. Not only the ladies are attached, even the men are less intelligent because they're also in the bodily concept of life. And therefore, the lamenting queens did not want the body to be burned because it was expected, at least in that time, some millions of years ago, that when the body of their husband would be burnt, especially as it mentions here, a kshatriya who dies on a battlefield, then the women would have to enter into the fire, or would enter into the fire voluntarily out of love and separation from their husband. First of all, they would have to know that their husband didn't just disappear into nothingness, which most people don't really know. Where did he go? Who knows? Maybe he just disappeared. I'm not going to follow him. I'm still alive. He died. Too bad for him. I'm not going to go where he's going. But even if one believes in the soul and the transmigration of the soul, then unless there is deep love for the husband, unless the husband has the qualities that invoke that love, unless he's Krishna conscious, then why would the wives want to follow him? If they think, well, it was hard enough living with him for 50 years, I'm not going to follow him. I may have to go another 50 years with him. Unless there's intense love, then there's no question of wanting to follow him. And the love has to be so intense, the appreciation, the reciprocation had to be so sweet that they'd be willing to actually enter into a fire. Nowadays, if you're cooking in the kitchen and a drop of ghee falls on our hand, we're calling, we're running to the hospital. Save me, oh doctor, There's a drop of ghee on my hand. I can't, maybe you should perform a surgery or something. So generally speaking, we're very much attached to this body and the pains and pleasures of the body. So the only separation we usually feel is separation from eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That we feel intensely. Feeling intense emotions towards a person is usually in the realm, maybe sometimes people feel initially some, they call it love, that lasts for a few days or whatever. The only thing that usually lasts is intense animosity and hate. That lasts quite well, long in Kali Yuga. Loving people is rather, doesn't last very long. But hating people goes for a long time. That's the intense emotion in Kali Yuga especially that people experience. Envy, hatred, animosity, jealousy. These are the emotions that generally fill oneself up. And therefore, one takes the corresponding body. But Hiranyakashipu is giving this narration so we can understand the eternality of the soul, so the queens will stop lamenting. And indeed, at the end, we'll find out that if one hears about how the body is temporary and how the soul is eternal, that people will become relieved of some degree of distress. Now the whole world is lamenting, or most of the world is lamenting, over this virus, whatever it may be. But if they knew that they're eternal, they wouldn't be afraid of what the future holds. If they were actually engaged in something productive during this time, namely chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna, then this would actually be a very auspicious time. And if they're simply becoming more and more fearful that something might happen to them, that's also good, because something is going to happen to them. We're all going to die. As I said, one devotee went to a doctor, and the doctor told this devotee, "Dear sir, I'm sorry to tell you, according to the medical test, I think you're going to die." So the devotee looked at this doctor and said, "Dear sir, sorry to tell you, but I know you're also going to die." So it's not that if the coronavirus didn't come, everyone would live forever. No one lives forever. No one lives for very long. 90,000 of our years is equal to 1 second in Brahma's lifetime. So in 1 second of Brahma's lifetime, we go through 1,000 births and deaths. Now, we're thinking this one lifetime is very long. Brahma sneezes and we've gone through 10,000 lifetimes. So, this opportunity, especially in the human form of life, hear and chant about Krishna, try to make some spiritual progress, is very valuable. And it's all based upon the fact that we are eternal and that we have an eternal life. And eternally we shouldn't just take one body after another trying to find happiness in a place where there's no happiness. We should look for happiness in a place where it actually exists permanently. And that we can find if we practice Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Maybe we should have two mics.
Hare Krishna, thank you for this lecture. Some question. What is about the transmigration of soul? We lamenting after death, loving person, and remembering and lamenting. And what is how much soul have problem because we are so attached to this person?
If I understand your question correctly, what are the different kinds of transmigration, and if the soul gets into problems if he's too attached to his body? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what the soul has problem to go further, to go...
To go up,
We may be...
Too attached.
If we can sort of hold back the person.
Yeah, hold back to the soul.
Can we stop the soul from leaving his body or what? Or going
not
to
leaving,
another destination?
But then after leaving, we always lamenting and calling this.
Yes, and they come back. Oh, they really love me. Yeah. Yeah, ghosts. So many people, especially in Kali Yuga, become ghosts. That's. People go, they bury the person's body. And finally, after so many years, someone showed some interest in the person, some actually affection or some attachment. And so the person hangs around in that as a ghostly form, waiting for some flowers to be put on his grave, see a few people crying, and think, you know, actually I was a good person. No one really noticed me when I was alive, but they sure noticed me when I'm dead. So people look forward sometimes to death. because then people actually appreciate me more. Yeah, so it's not good. That's why they burn the body quickly, or bury it quickly, whatever. But in the Vedic culture, they generally burnt the body. Unless you were an elevated personality, then they would bury it. Because that way, people's attachment would, especially for a dead, you know, burned body, it's very hard when you throw the ashes in the Ganges, try and figure out where the ashes are. They kind of scatter quite quickly. So the attachment to going and worshipping a dead body diminishes. Because there are many varieties of possibilities. One of them is become a ghost. The other is be taken before Yamaraj and tortured for some time before you receive your honorable body. And the other is to go to the heavenly planets immediately or go back to the spiritual world or take birth again for 9 months in some womb or more months or less months. So there's many possibilities how the soul is going to transmigrate. But the worst thing is to hang around as a ghost.
And if the person does suicide?
Well, generally it depends what kind of suicide he does. Sanatana Goswami was going to throw himself under the wheel of the Jagannath chariot, and that was a custom. But or Raghunath Das was going to jump off Govardhan, which is higher than it is now. Jumped off Govardhan, you might break your little toe or something. But at that time, it was considerably higher. In any case, that kind of suicide with your mind fixed on Krishna is not the same suicide as one is in deep lamentation, trying to get out of the body, and then generally one will become a ghost in a very miserable state of consciousness. And apparently there are quite a number of ghosts. There are many varieties of ghosts also, depending who you are when you committed suicide. There are even Brahma Rakshasas. People who became Brahmanas, qualified Brahmanas sometimes, but somehow or another they committed suicide and became a ghost. One devotee was telling me he was in a village, visiting a village, and there was one, and he felt someone spitting on him. So he asked the people there who lived in the village, what's going on? I'm walking around here and someone's spitting on me. He said, yes, there's a Brahmin Rakshasa who died here and he sometimes spits on people.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Hare Krishna, for instance, is our father died 10 years ago and on every year university we chant for this soul benefit few rounds. Does this soul has benefit from this or not?
Well, especially if he chants for long. Yeah, of course, Krishna takes everything in consideration. He doesn't only take our unwanted desires in consideration, he takes all the desires in consideration. Oh, if you are a well wisher for someone, then they'll benefit. Yes.
We sometimes say that the wife shares the credits and merit of her pious husband, whom she serves. So then, why do we have lady devotees chant 16 rounds if they can share in the husband's chanting?
So their husband can get some pious credit. Because by a sangha, one gets association, one gets the value. The idea is if the wives are actually getting the credit for the husband, and the husband is a devotee, and he's thinking about Krishna, then the wife should also think about Krishna. So why shouldn't she chant Hare Krishna if she's thinking about Krishna? The whole family should chant Hare Krishna. If you can get the dog to chant, that would be good. Bark out Hare Krishna. At least dance during the kirtan. Some benefit. We find Devahuti and Karimamuni, she was getting the credit, but she was also a yogi. But she didn't quite make as much advancement as Karima Muni did. Therefore, she had to get instructions from Kapila Dev. But still, she made advancement. According to the purport, she was a Mahayogi. Therefore, she understood, she knew exactly what to ask Kapila Dev. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I have a question regarding to this description when the story that was told by Hiranyakashipu.
We're not done with it. You can come back tomorrow and hear the rest.
Oh, it's still.
Yeah, there's.
But the thing is just.
We're just getting into the story right now.
Yeah, but my question is regarding to. We heard all the good qualities of a king that dies, and he was a kshatriya. And in this age, the usually the politicians should be like kshatriyas. And when politicians die, we also see all these good descriptions that they have. But there is difference between these descriptions. So, what is the quality of the description of a king in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and what is the quality of a description of some politician that died, and they will say he was very care, generously, big-hearted, etc.
Well, I don't know. There's varieties of personalities, but if you want to know what the qualities of a kshatriya are, we can read Bhagavad Gita. Surya Teja Sriti Daksha Yude Chapipalayanam Dhanam Ishvara Bhavascha Kshatriyam Karma Sabhavaja. Surya, courage in battle, Tejas, prowess, Sriti, Daksha, expertise, determination, Surya, Teja, Sriti, Daksha, Yude, Chapipala, that's courage in battle, heroism, courage, and this one is Yude, Chapipala, courage in battle, Dhanam, giving charity, Ishvara, and ability to control others. These are the qualities of a kshatriya. And nowadays, if you want, most politicians, you can read in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Ishvaraham aham bhogi siddham balavan sukhi adyo bidhanavanasmi konyosti sadvisho daksha yakshayda syami modisha ityagana vimohitata idam adyamaya bladvam imam prapse manoritam idam astiyam apime bhavishiti punarnamam. So much is mine and I'll gain more according to my scheme. So much wealth do I have, and I'll get more and more in the future. He is my enemy, and I have killed him, and my other enemies will also be killed. I am the Lord of everything. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am surrounded by rich and aristocratic relatives. There is no one so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform some sacrifice. I'll give some charity, and thus I'll rejoice. So this is called people who are deluded by ignorance.
Thank you.
There might be some pious politicians, so more than others, but this is general description of Kali Yuga. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandra Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.